My dearly beloved in Christ, Laetare Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Lent, means that there are only 3 weeks left of Lent. We're more than halfway through this important season. The time goes by very quickly, and so it is a good opportunity for us at this basically midway point to renew our determination to make a good Lent, to read over, if you wrote down, which I encourage you to do at the beginning of Lent, what you would do for this season, to read it over and to make certain that you are being faithful to your Lenten sacrifices in order to make a good Lent. Now, speaking of Lent and penance, I just returned yesterday with our seniors from their class trip to Rome. And this was quite an ambitious goal that they had set back in the fall, to go to Rome on pilgrimage. And so when I finally agreed, ideally this would be done after Easter, but this year with a late Easter, with ordinations coming up, and all of the events that take place in May, it was impossible to squeeze it in before the end of the school year after Easter, so I decided we would go in March. And part of the consideration there was that it's not high tourism season. The rates would be better, but also the problem of immodesty in the world would not be as great in the cooler month of March. So we went to Rome. We spent 3 days walking all over Rome. I would say, without any exaggeration, at least as many as 5 miles a day, walking, visiting many different churches. Then we rented a car and went south of Rome to visit the shrine of St. Philomena. And in addition, we went to the shrines of St. Gerard Magella, St. Alphonsus Liguori, the tomb of St. Andrew in Amalfi, and that of St. Matthew in Salerno. All told, we visited the tombs of 9 of the apostles, 7 of them in Rome. Many, many churches in Rome. But for me, the highlight was going to a little place called Subiaco, which is the cave where Saint Benedict lived for 3 years. And if you know the story of his life, we just had the feast day of Saint Benedict 10 days ago. He was born in the year 480 in a little town of Nursia, which is maybe a couple hours outside of Rome. And his parents, when he was 15 years old, after his elementary education, they must have been well-to-do. They sent him to Rome to study the higher studies. But after a short time in Rome, he fled. And the reason was because he was shocked and scandalized by the immorality of his fellow classmates. And so he fled the occasion of sin. He went, and the inspiration of God must have led him. He went and settled in a cave on the side of a mountain. It is practically inaccessible. In fact, he lived in that cave for 3 years, unknown to everyone except a monk, a hermit named Romanus. And this monk would lower his food to him by a rope in a basket from above on the top of the mountain, because he couldn't get to the cave. It would be very difficult. Again, it's right on the side of a mountain. Well, today they built a monastery which looks like it's clinging to the mountain right there, and the cave is part of it. You go in and you go down into the cave where he lived for those 3 years. After those 3 years, his whereabouts became known, and people knew that he was a holy man, and many young men gathered around him and wanted him to guide them in a spiritual life. So he started monasteries. In fact, he built 12 monasteries in that area around Subiaco. But after about 20 years, he left that area and he moved south and settled on the top of a mountain called Monte Cassino. Now, on top of Monte Cassino, south of Rome, there is a beautiful monastery. And there used to be a beautiful monastery, but it was bombed to smithereens by the Allies in World War II because the Germans were using it as a command center. And so the whole monastery was destroyed. But the United States rebuilt it with help from volunteers from around the world. And it is a beautiful, beautiful monastery. And so there are the tombs of Saint Benedict and Saint Scholastica. So that was for me, obviously, a highlight of the trip, as well as visiting the tombs of the apostles and of so many saints. And I told the seminarians, there are a lot of saints I need to learn about now. We would be in a church unexpecting, and then all of a sudden there's a tomb of a saint, maybe little known. And so, again, it was wonderful to pray before these tombs of the saints. Now, despite the fact that I thought there wouldn't be as many people, Rome especially was just thronged with people. In fact, it took us, and this is not an exaggeration, an hour and 45 minutes to get into St. Peter's Basilica, because it was such a long line of people. And they have metal detectors. It's like when you go through the airport, X-ray machine for your, if you have a knapsack, and they have a, you go through the metal detector to go into the four major basilicas in Rome. And of course, it's a holy year, so the holy door is open. You go through that door. And there were a lot of pilgrims. And like I said, St. Peter's, we probably had the wrong day to go there because we went on a Saturday. Maybe on a weekday there wouldn't have been as many, but there were a lot of people. And even though the majority of these people are tourists, you see them gawking at all of the artwork in these magnificent churches, and that's disappointing. We were there to visit, again, the tombs of the saints. At the same time, we did see a lot of piety. We did see people praying before the tombs and at the different shrines, and that was good to see, that despite Vatican II, there still is piety remaining. Maybe not a lot. Again, the vast majority of people were just looking around and taking pictures of everything, etc. One of my favorite parts was an old part of Rome called Trastevere, and it is close to the Vatican, on the other side of the Tiber that the Vatican is, and very small, narrow streets, winding streets. And we went into where our goal was three churches in particular in Trastevere, and we ended up finding, just stumbling onto several others as well. And so that was St. Cecilia, for example, the church that's built over her house where she was martyred, and St. Dorothy, St. Chrysogonus, a number of wonderful shrines there. And anytime we went to a church where there were not very many people, we would not only pray, but we would sing. And so that was a special part of the pilgrimage as well, to be able to sing at the in these beautiful churches when, if there were not very many other people there, we would, you know, join singing to our prayers. So it was really a pilgrimage of grace. It was penitential for me. I didn't think I could walk that much. I can walk if it's flat, but if it's going up, going down a hill, okay, but going up a hill, that's tough, and going up steps, sometimes a lot of steps. So my dear brother Anthony led us on, this was our third day in Rome, looking for a church, and I'm following the leader. We went down this long, long hill, then went over one block, then went back up the hill, and we ended up back where we started. I said, thanks a lot for making me walk up this steep hill. But so that we did do penance as well. But it was a beautiful pilgrimage, and it was wonderful to visit these churches and these shrines, and also to reflect on the beauty of our faith. So many martyrs that gave their lives for their faith. And as I mentioned, good to see that there is still piety. The vast majority of people, just tourists, gawking, etc., but still people praying, kneeling, praying devoutly before these shrines. And it gives us an appreciation for our faith and the wonderful culture that we have in the Catholic faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.